Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Roger Finlay. I'm the chairman of PGG Wrightson Limited. Welcome to our 2019 annual shareholders meeting at the beautiful Riccarton Park. I've enjoyed watching them go around in training this morning. Hopefully mine's out there somewhere. There are a few, as always, housekeeping matters to cover before we get the meeting underway. In the unlikely event of an emergency during the meeting, please walk to the nearest fire exit door. They're located to the left of the stage here. That'll be your right, and at the rear of the room. And in the case of an earthquake, which we will never have again, please take cover. Please take cover. And in both situations, please exit the room only when directed by the excellent staff at Riccarton Park here. Toilets are located in the foyer, and for the benefit of those who are unable to attend today, I wish to advise that we are recording this meeting and an audio file will be posted on our website later today. I'm also advised that we have a quorum present, and accordingly I declare this meeting open. Before we begin the business of the meeting, I'm pleased to introduce your board of directors, and I would ask that each of your directors stand as I mention their name. Firstly, we have our Deputy Chairman, Juhai Lee. Thank you. We have our Independent Director, David Cushing. Independent Director, Sarah Brown. Some of you will notice Sarah's a little bit different to the other directors we've had for the last 160 years. And finally, Director Yu Ken Sing. Seated alongside me on the stage are members of our executive team. I have Stephen Guerin with the Chief Financial Officer, Peter Scott. And our General Manager, Corporate Affairs, Julian Daly, who, as you are aware, also serves as our Company Secretary. I also would like to acknowledge members of our executive, extremely hard-working executive team who are in attendance today. Our new General Manager, Retail and Water, Nick Berry. Thanks, Nick. GM Wool, Grant Edwards. Thanks, Grant. GM Livestock, Peter Moore. GM Real Estate, Peter Newbold. And our Acting General Manager of Human Resources, Natalie Thane. Not here today, looking after the staff. I'd also like to acknowledge several other notable attendees. We have, from our auditors, KPMG, Peter Taylor with us. We have our very special New Zealand Shareholders Association, represented by Max. And as I said at the time of our special general meeting, I would like to just put on the record what excellent work the Shareholders Association does representing a broad spectrum of shareholders in New Zealand's capital markets. We also have, and I'll talk about them a bit later, we have a representative from our new bankers. We've got Nigel Collins from the BNZ in attendance today. We have no apologies that have been notified to the meeting. Are there any apologies from the floor that we could note in our minutes? There being none, we'll move on. You've received notice of meeting. Company Secretary has confirmed that it was sent on the 20th of September to all registered shareholders and to other persons entitled to receive that notice. I confirm that the minutes of the company's previous annual shareholders meeting held on the 30th of October 2018 were approved as a true and correct record at the board meeting of the 10th of December of the same year. Also, the minutes of our special shareholders meeting, which many of you attended, held on the 23rd of July in this room, were approved on the 12th of August. And the minutes of both meetings are posted on the shareholder information section of our website. The annual report 2019, the financial statements and the reports of directors and auditors for the year ending June 2019 are set out in the company's annual report. On the 20th of September, the annual report was forwarded to shareholders who had requested a copy, and the report once again is also available on the company's website and the NZX. And we also have somewhere at the back of the room a goodly pile of them should you want to pick one up at the conclusion of the meeting. Sadly, I now have to talk about GAAP and non-GAAP performance measures. Please note that today we will refer to both GAAP and non-GAAP accounting performance measures. We as a company use operating earnings before interest, tax, depreciation and amortization, or we call it operating EBITDA, as a key measure of performance in this business, and I encourage you to refer to our full accounts for details of how this number relates to GAAP measures. We also have had in the year under review changes to our financial reporting. It's changed as a result principally of the sale of our seed and grain business to DLF Seeds AS. The key change is for the statement of profit and loss. We have removed the impact of seed and grain from the respective profit and loss lines and disclosed seed and grain's result in a separate discontinued operations line. Note that this treatment also applies to the comparative period. But wait, there's more. Please note that in the statement of cash flows, the statement of cash flows includes seed and grain business up until the date of sale, and the comparative payment period statement of financial position balance sheet includes the seed and grain business. Proxies and postal votes. I can report that 411 shareholders have appointed proxies for the purposes of this meeting in respect of approximately 43.7 million shares. Just reiterating, as many of you know, we've gone through for the 10 for 1 consolidation. So in old money, that was 437 million shares. The business of the meeting. We've now covered the opening formalities, and I'd like to move to the general business of the meeting. I will begin by providing an overview of the 2019 financial year, and then I will hand over to our excellent Chief Executive, Stephen Guerin, who will address this meeting as Chief Executive for the first time. Stephen will provide the financial and operational highlights for individual businesses. Stephen will also summarise how our business is tracking in the current financial year and discuss our forecast guidance for the full year to 30th of June 2020. I'm also delighted he's going to give shareholders a very full review of our fruit-fed business, which it is our feeling has never had enough time in the sunshine. So we'll hear from Stephen about that. We will then have an opportunity for questions and discussion before moving to the formal business of the resolutions, which will be put to the meeting. As outlined in the notice of meeting, the business of the meeting comprises three ordinary resolutions relating to the election of directors and a fourth resolution authorising the board to determine our auditor's fees. Financial year 2019 has by any measure been a significant transformational year for PGW, both for the business and for you, our shareholders. The change brought about by the sale of the seed and grain business, completed on the 1st of May, was extremely significant for PGW. In recent months, we've communicated extensively about this sale, but more importantly, about the resulting $234 million capital distribution to shareholders. Today, I'd like to concentrate on the future of our strong rural businesses, which the board and management team are firmly focused on. Since completion of those transactions, we've been very busy recalibrating our cost base through the implementation of a range of initiatives, including we've restructured our core corporate functions, and we have achieved substantial cost savings, which will be enduring in future years. We are reducing our governance costs. Not many boards like doing that, but we've decided we should do it too. We are reducing our governance costs principally through a resizing of our PGW board. We are now down to 5 directors, where we were 6. and we are in the process of renegotiating PGW's audit fees for the much smaller business we are today. To further underscore this confidence in the fundamentals of the business and in PGW's future, I'm very pleased to share with you that we negotiated and entered into new banking facilities in July 2019. We've all heard in the press about the attitude of our major banks in New Zealand towards the rural sector, declining sentiment and reducing facility. The fact that PGW have negotiated the quality of facility we have with our new facility agent in BNZ is an absolute testament to the shape, the strength of the organisation post the seed and grain sale. The new terms we have secured provide for core facilities of up to $50 million and a working capital facility of an additional $70 million. And it is extremely important to note that very competitive terms have been struck for these banking arrangements. Summarising the key financial metrics for the year just passed, our operating EBITDA was $24.4 million, and that is down on last year's strong result of $34.5 million. However, our net profit after tax was a record for the business, $131.8 million. Our earnings per share was 17.4 cents, which now, in our consolidated sense, consolidated condition, would be the equivalent of $1.74 per share. We've declared a fully imputed dividend of 7.5 cents, which was paid on the 2nd of October. This brings the total fully imputed dividends paid for the year to 15 cents per share, on a post-share consolidated basis. The board and I wish to acknowledge the effort and commitment of our staff. We have a lot of staff. We serve our customers through these staff. They work strongly with these customers, and they are operating in an environment of uncertainty and of very difficult on-farm conditions, and to attain the result we have achieved is a great credit to all our staff. I'd now like to hand you over to our Chief Executive Officer, Stephen Guerin.
Thank you, Roger, and good morning, everyone. It's indeed been a transformational year for PGW for both business and shareholders. Reflecting back on the FY 2019 year, I think we can say it was one of the most operationally challenging in recent years. Farmer confidence in parts of the agricultural sector remained subdued, constraining farm spending and therefore our revenue growth over the year. This has also been evident in the last few months of the financial year, and which made it we saw a discernible tightening in the credit environment. This saw a small increase in our overdue debtors and increased provisions taken at year-end for doubtful debts. As a result, PGW finished the year slightly under the lower end of our operating EBITDA guidance range of $25 million. On the other hand, net profit after tax benefited from the capital gain on the sale of the seed and grain business and at a value of $131.8 million is a record result for PGW. It's important to note that this operating EBITDA result no longer includes any contribution from the seed and grain business, which has been reported as a discontinued operation in our results for the FY 2019 year and the comparative year. Nevertheless, we have chosen to continue to invest in and build our business as we plan for farmer spending to recover. Notably, we've increased the pace of our IT spend on a number of key projects that are being implemented. We indicated in May that we expected to end the financial year near the bottom end of our operating EBITDA guidance range, given that we were cautious about trading conditions in the last quarter of the year. As is often the case, on-farm conditions had an influence on our performance in the sector and in turn PGW, and FY 2019 was no exception. The impact of Mycoplasma bovis, or M. bovis, was felt across the livestock and raw supplies businesses, most particularly with reduced dairy herd settlements, a reduction in tallies, a softening of demand for dairy beef, and more cautious approach in spending in the dairy sector across a range of farm inputs. Market conditions continue to challenge both our real estate and wool businesses, with results down on FY 2018. Commodity prices were generally strong, especially in New Zealand dollar terms. Therefore, our customers have generally enjoyed higher returns even where production decreased. This flowed through to our livestock and fruit feed businesses. Sheep and beef markets remain strong and continue to strengthen. The horticulture sector continues to go from strength to strength, with growing global demand and a growing trend of conversion of livestock farms to orchards and vineyards in key areas across the country, including Northland and Marlborough. Looking back on the 2018-2019 season, production estimates are mixed compared to the 2017-2018 year. The Ministry of Primary Industry estimates dairy production increased similar production levels in beef, lamb and pit fruit as 2017-2018, and reduction in kiwi fruit and wine. Turning to our cash flow and debt positions. After paying dividends of $15 million and repaying $114 million of debt, the group cash balance increased by $199.6 million, which predominantly relates to the cash received for the sale of the seed and grain business, leaving us with a cash balance of $210.5 million as at 30th of June 2019. Net cash flows, including the seed and grain business, from operating activities was a $49 million outflow. This results from investments in working capital, including investments in the GO livestock products of $8.3 million. In addition, lump sum funding payments of approximately $10.3 million were made to the group's defined benefit pension plan to bring the plan back to actuarial equilibrium as at the 31st of May 2019. Moving to our operational highlights. I'd also like to spend a few minutes talking through some of these, which we achieved in the 2019 year. Our Go Beef and Go Lamb products continued to grow strongly, with the balance peaking at $49.3 million during the FY 2019. Fruit Feed Supplies continues to grow the bottom line due to the contribution of a strong horticultural sector and leading market position. To date, 1,000 employees have completed the Cognitive Behavioural Health and Safety Program Zero Incident Process. Year after year, Fruit Feed Supplies features in our annual operating highlights. So therefore, we thought it was time to take the opportunity to share with you some more detail about this high-performing business within the Retail and Water Group. We are very proud of the outstanding performance of the Fruit Feed business, producing year-on-year growth. Therefore, it's important for us to showcase this business here today. Fruit Feed Supplies is part of the Retail and Water Group and is a leading horticultural service supplier, supplying business services throughout the New Zealand horticultural sector. The team support growers of stone fruit, pit fruit, vegetables, viticulture and subtropical crops. In addition, we service farming and general rural supplies customers located in those areas not covered by the rural supplies network, and with the assistance of technical field representatives out on farm orchards every day of the week. The Fruit Feed Supplies business has averaged a 49% growth since 2015, 4.9% growth since 2015, with cumulative growth of 24.6% since 2015. The team are naturally very proud of this result. We have positioned the business to continue to grow as several key crop sectors continue to invest in and develop further land for production. Currently, the team are working hard to ensure we deliver again on the F20 results. The business foundation for the Fruit Feed Supplies business is the provision of technical specialist expertise out in our customer base, research focused and ongoing emphasis on innovation. As a result, our team often become an integral part of the customer's business. We strongly believe that's our point of difference, and it's proven providing us with year-on-year growth along with an enviable market share position. The Fruit Feed Supplies team is comprised of 157 people, 48 technical field horticultural representatives, along with a nationwide in-store customer-based service team, supported by our on-field, in-field team and a research and development team. The frontline team are committed to working alongside our customers to maximise yield, produce quality crops, gain market access, given that we're essentially, horticulture is essentially an export-based business, achieve profitable returns by assisting them to access the right products, provide high quality service and make the right decisions. To ensure we keep up to date with the latest innovations, our team are involved in ongoing training programs. In addition, some of our members participate in international study tours, so we can continue to increase our technical knowledge, which they in turn share with our wider team and our customers. We have 15 dedicated stores throughout the country, major horticultural areas from Kerikeri in Northland through to Cromwell in central Otago. But our retail network is just part of the offering. Each store is staffed by professional, well-qualified teams of customer services and field representatives offering technical support, product knowledge and a very high level of customer service. In addition to our nationwide store network and on-farm servicing, we also have a team dedicated to trialling and development of new products under New Zealand conditions prior to commercial release, as developing spray programs for New Zealand horticultural crops. In the 2018-2019 season, we undertook 60 trials with 250 treatments were tested pre-commercialisation across the fruit-fed supplies and rural supplies and agri-trade businesses. Approximately half of these were proprietary or new chemistry. This field research gives us first-hand view of the products and how they perform in the field and provides us with unbiased insight into product performance and is our point of differentiation with our customer base. Many of our customers have an environmental plan and are seeking to achieve a position of zero waste in the years ahead. To assist them in achieving our environmental goals, we are working alongside customers and suppliers to facilitate this process, which includes activity reducing plastic packaging. We're strongly committed to the horticultural sector. In 2019 year, the horticultural sector continued to grow from strength to strength due to the growth in global demand for New Zealand's premium quality produce. This is a trend we have confidence will continue. While the growth rate declined in the FY19 year, the various horticultural industry bodies are all predicting increases in the foreseeable future, although we note proposed regulatory changes associated with healthy waterways proposals may have impact on this forecast growth. As a result, we continue to invest in our people, our research development, our facilities to ensure the fruit-fed supplies business is well prepared to support the sector, which is going from strength to strength. I hope you enjoyed this update on the fruit-fed supplies business, and we'll now move into our financial results for the year. Against this backdrop, let's turn to our focus to the performance of our two large operating groups. Firstly, we'll talk about the retail and water group. For retail and water, our operating EBITDA was back $4.2 million on the record result in the FY2018 year. The strong performer in the group was the fruit feds business, which we've just spoken about, who along with Agritrade increased its operating EBITDA result on the FY18 year. Market conditions for the horticultural sector remain positive despite some adverse conditions at key pollination, growing and harvesting periods. Development of orchards and vineyards around the country continue to grow the revenue for the fruit-fed business. The agri-trade business continued its growth year on year with revenue up on the same period last year to product acquisition and increased distribution services, whilst our time capsule sales, which is an animal health product, were back on FY2018 as conditions were not conducive for facial eczema. A factor in the reduction of operating EBITDA for the group was a claim event noted in a half-year result in February 2019. As a settlement was reached with our supplier, which partially compensated PGW for the consequences arising from the supply of their defective product, with a financial impact of approximately $1.8 million, which was not recovered. In addition, high petrol prices over the year also impacting the earnings of the retail and water group, along with other parts of our business. The best performer in our water business was the Advanced Irrigation Systems business, or the AIS as we refer to it internally. This business had an impressive year due to established growth strategy around golf, landscape, sports turf and horticulture, with major developments at the prestigious sites such as Royal Auckland and the Grange Golf Club in Auckland and the Millbrook Resort near Arrowtown. After the pleasing performance of AIS is set to continue with a number of major projects in the pipeline. Elsewhere, in the water business, the performance continued to disappoint, largely due to the lack of on-farm development. Therefore, it was deemed prudent to restructure the water business cost base. We believe the benefits of this will flow through to the 2020 year. Our investment in technology and people continues. The rollout of our new retail point of sale system in the first part of 2019 year, along with the team progressing the discovery phase of our e-commerce project, reflects on the group's focus on technology. A key aspect of the group's strategy is continued investment in its people, with one of our key goals being to enhance technical expertise, which in turn adds value to our customers. Moving to our agency business, which incorporates the livestock, wool and real estate businesses, as well as our referral commissions for insurance and finance services. Trading for this group is weighted towards the second half of the financial year. The agency's operating EBITDA was back 23.4% on last year, with livestock's performance back 7.8% on their strong FY18 result. Our wool business and real estate business continued to face challenges and tough market conditions throughout 2019 year. Livestock was down on earnings at the half-year mark and did not recover to the extent expected in the second half, despite strong sheep and beef commodity pricing and demand. Unfortunately, the effects of a wet spring lingered and the added impact of dry autumn compounded already difficult feed supply conditions across most of the country. This delayed the finishing of sheep and beef cattle, with many farmers holding on to stock through until the late autumn and into the winter months. In addition, the effects of the imbovis were felt across the sector, impacted on dairy herd settlements and farmers' trading of dairy beef. The demand for grow products continues to grow strongly, with the balance peaking at $49.3 million during FY 2019. Due to the strong appeal of this product to sheep and beef farmers, we are considering options to grow GO products further. Innovation continues to be a focus of the livestock team, with a major project coming to fruition during 2019. This being PGW's new online stock trading channel, Bidder, which was delivered to the market during the last quarter of 2019. Bidder has the potential to be a game changer in the livestock trading market, with strong interest from industry to date. In addition, digital tools for our highly mobile livestock teams were delivered throughout the year to keep agents up to date with the latest market intelligence. Our real estate business has been challenged by a soft rural market brought about by a number of factors, but particularly the changes in the application of the Overseas Investment Act rules in October 2018, which restricts foreign investment, along with caution in the dairy sector due to imbovis. Despite these being difficult conditions, the business completed a number of market-leading sales in the horticultural and sheep and beef sectors. This year, the wool business was negatively impacted by continued depressed crossbred wool prices globally, a reduction in the number of bales sold compared to the FY18 year, along with poor trading conditions for our export business. Last year's strong result was buoyed by the sale of stockpile wool, whereas this year's result is more an effect of the subdued 2017 year. Outlook. As noted earlier, with the transformational change that PGW has undergone over the last 12 months, we believe we're well positioned for the current financial year and beyond. Surveys reveal that confidence in the agricultural sector remains low. The impact of bovis on dairy and beef and the uncertainty regarding regulatory change affecting agriculture is keeping confidence low. More recently, the proposal to increase the amount of capital banks are required to hold has the potential to reduce the amount of debt capital that might be available to agriculture. Consequently, we are seeing a more cautious approach to investment and expenditure from our customers. The proposed national standards for fresh water is under active debate in rural communities. With public submissions not yet closed and the hearing process still to take place, a landing place on the final proposals remains unclear, and we are also working through the implications for our clients and PGW, and we will look to be part of the discussions as we move through this process. As a leader in the agricultural sector, we have engaged in discussions with regulators and legislators in the areas of winter grazing, national animal tagging changes, proposed changes to the primary ITO training provider and the Wool Industry Task Force. And we look to have input to the future shape of agriculture as we look to have input into the future shape of agriculture in New Zealand. With continued strong demand for protein and as livestock farmers and the wider industry gain a better understanding of the increased confidence of the management of M. bovis, we believe we will see positive effect of those factors flow through to improve trading. We are seeing confidence in the sheep and beef sector with strong commodity prices. Also buoyed by the ongoing confidence and investment in the horticultural sector, and we anticipate the fruit feed suppliers business continue to prosper as the sector grows. The emergence of strong iwi-based farming businesses is encouraging and often unrecognised. We support these businesses through our small dedicated team, which allows us an engagement around these clients, wider aspirations of sustainable use of their resources, good commercial operating models and outcomes and governance with benefits to flow to their communities and shareholders. However, we expect the softer global demand for crossbred wool will continue to impact on our wool business. The rural real estate market, which makes up the majority of our real estate business, is likely to continue to be subdued in the year ahead. Our focus on innovation continues, and we'll continue to maintain our investment in tools to support our people and customers. We're encouraged by the performance of our bidder product to date, our livestock team, and we await to see how the new online channel will change the livestock trading. Bidder provides a unique point of difference in the online livestock trading marketplace as there is stock certification built into the process. Stock are independently certified as true to class and specification, which is valued by our clients. We have support for the bidder product from our other livestock companies who are also trading through this platform. We are looking to also fully embed our new retail point of sale system and progress our e-commerce project. The e-commerce platform builds on our in-store point of sale system we rolled out last year and will allow our customers to transact their business in a different manner and time that suits their needs. I've spoken about our technical research programs in our fruit feed suppliers business. This year, we'll see the commercial launch of a number of new agricultural products we have supported in our trial programs through our retail network. We have in our pipeline Innovative Chemistry, which is a joint venture with a multinational company. They see value in partnering with PGW because of our technical capability, market research, and consequently our ability to bring the product to market. Some of the partnership models are in discussion with other companies. The development of our people is core to our success. Our people are skilled operators in their field, and we will continue to support our current team with on-the-job technical skills, leadership programs, and our zero incident harm program. We continue our work to develop our new talent into the organisation through our training programs and emerging leader programs. The health and well-being of our people and rural communities is important to us. We have partnered with Dr. Tom Mulholland, who specialises in the area of rural health and mental wellness, and the Walk the Talk Wellness Tour through 20 rural regions throughout New Zealand. We have seen a high degree of engagement by our staff and clients at these events, which have been underway since July. Looking forward, it's not our intention to consider major acquisitions, but rather organic and greenfields growth. As it's still only a few months in the FY20 year, it's early days with spring training to provide firm guidance about expectations for the full FY20 year. The board considers the post-implementation of corporate restructuring will see the benefit of cost savings flow through progressively, with savings in excess of $2.5 million expected in the FY20 year. Assuming more training, more normal training year and continued confidence in commodity prices, we expect to see PGW achieve operating EBITDA in excess of $30 million before adjusting for the impact from the new accounting standards for leases being IFRS 16. Now I hand you back to Roger for me, our chairman.
Thank you, Stephen, for that very comprehensive review and your first report to the shareholders. There was a lot in there, and I'm not going to repeat it all, but you know, just to re-emphasise, this earnings guidance that we are giving the market of $30 million is in the context of difficult agricultural markets, and it represents a 20% increase on the operating EBITDA we achieved in the last year. And once again, reiterating and strengthening Stephen's message, our excellent GO products, livestock products in the finance area, in an area of difficult banking environment, are being incredibly well received. The performance of this crown jewel, and I don't use the term lightly, fruit fed and horticulture, continuing to grow, substantial cost savings that we've implemented, and that all special, as Stephen says, technical capability gives this board confidence to make that sort of earnings guidance number. I'd like to now provide an update on the group strategy. With the seed and grain transaction and the capital return behind us, we are sharpening our focus on the core PGW offerings that have made this business a key part of New Zealand agricultural landscape for more than 160 years. As Stephen mentioned, our focus on innovation, our investments in technology, our GO products, our very exciting bidder. I sort of don't use bidder. I'm told I'm wrong. I call it bid-R. Because if you go to your computer at home and you type in bidder, B-I-D-D-E-R, you may not get the right place, but I'm assured you do, but I like calling it bid-R. But somewhere between bidder and bid-R is the name of the product, and it is very exciting. Our e-commerce offerings, products we bring to the market in our retail portfolio, which are increasing in their range and sophistication, will allow us to continue to support our people as they work alongside the farmers of New Zealand and the horticultural producers around the country and add value to our customers' businesses. The board and management team will be reassessing our strategy in coming months and exploring opportunities to innovate and grow our business as we continue to demonstrate to our customers why PGW is their preferred partner for agribusiness. Following Stephen's comments on the outlook for FY 2020, it's timely to comment on dividend expectations. And here's the good news. We'd like to provide an update following the settlement of seed and grain and the completion of the capital distribution and the share consolidation finalised earlier this year. We're very conscious that shareholders and market and commentators saying, you know, what is the dividend policy? So we thought we'd like to give certainty on that, as well as we're giving some very firm guidance on earnings. Following these transactions, the board yesterday has undertaken a thorough review of PGW's existing dividend policy and has determined that the policy remains suitable and fit for purpose and appropriate. And although a decision on the interim dividend will not be made until the release of our half-year results in February, it was the expectation of the board that an interim dividend will be announced, not less than 8 cents per share, which would once again represent a 7% increase on the dividend just paid. It'll be declared based on, as always, the trading performance remaining within the current guidance period. We would also, at the time of our half-year results, anticipate to be in a position to provide a further update on our full-year guidance and the final dividend expectations when announcing our half-year results. Ladies and gentlemen, we would be delighted to take any questions in relation to our presentation so far. Our colleagues and helpers have microphones available for any questions. So if you do have a question, please raise your hand and we'll bring a microphone to you.
Thank you. Merv Altman's my name. There's a number of references to Bovis in both last year's results and next year's results. Has the country got control of this, or is this a runaway train? And if so, what's your plan B if Bovis becomes the new normal?
Thank you. That's a great question. Have we got the mics working down there?
Yes.
Stephen, do you want to take that?
Peter, do you want to perhaps turn to the GM of Livestock, who's Peter Moore? Why I'm turning to Peter is that Peter's actually sits on some of the technical working groups in respect to the management of Bovis. So Peter's in a good place. He's had experience of managing Bovis on farm internationally. So I'll turn to Peter.
So I suppose... Is that working? Yeah, that's a really good question, and I think that is it under control? I suppose if you look at what's happened overseas, it's a very difficult disease to control. And a lot of countries, certainly when I've worked overseas, we used to call it the sleeping disease. So just when you think you've got control, it'll rise up again. But it's not a difficult disease to manage. It is not as contagious as what a lot of people think. And my view is that, yes, we've got a good chance of eradicating it or getting good control of it, but big part of that is ensuring that we've got good traceability. And if you think about the NATE system has not given us that traceability, so I would encourage farmers to make sure that they're up to speed with how they do those transactions. But also, I think at the moment, we've still only got about 70% of farmers have logged on and upgraded their NATE details for the new systems. So it comes back to everyone being responsible for it. But going back to your question, is it under control? It's under control as well as we can at the moment. But it's everyone has to get on the train with us and everyone has to work together if we want to eradicate it. The new norm to me going forward, it is manageable. I suppose because I've seen it overseas and managed it overseas, I don't probably have the fear of it that a lot of people in New Zealand do.
And Peter, the second part of the question was equally good. In the unthinkable situation that we couldn't control it and government gave up, what would it mean for us?
So you go back to managing it. Managing the disease probably no different to what we've managed other diseases within our herds and around New Zealand. So it comes back to culling animals that have got it, managing it day to day, being on top of it, being aware of it. I don't think it would have a long-term impact on our business if it's managed well. You've got to remember, there's no issues with from the point of view of food health or food regulations with this. There's no impact on humans from a point of view of this disease. It is an animal disease that actually is still difficult to transmit from animal to animal. It is predominantly in our dairy herds, that's where it started, but it is popping up in more and more beef properties around the country.
Thanks, Peter.
Hello, James Lockie, shareholder. You've given us some indication of growth in the Go Livestock product. Can you give us an idea as to what the expected growth is and how you plan to fund it?
I think in Stephen's commentary we mentioned it's an area of constant review. We're obviously budgeting free cash flow numbers for the full year. I think it would be the best way I could answer your question is further funding of our Go Finance products would be the highest priority within our free cash flow. Now, there are many other players who would love to come in and have that product and we'll back you up and we'll give you some finance, and you can imagine who some of those players are. At the moment, it's ours. It's a unique bond between us and our customer. And we're not, at this stage, prepared to share that with anyone else. But we will examine, we absolutely will examine on merit opportunities to increase the scale substantially with the help of others. But at the moment, it's ours. We're putting as much free cash flow as we can into it, and it's a real growth opportunity for us.
Les Carson, shareholder. With the advent of Brexit, Britain pulling out of the European market, I see a huge opportunity for New Zealand to supply the increased market demand in Britain with sheep meat. What opportunities do we have here to quickly increase our sheep supply in New Zealand? Are you looking towards that sort of market? Because the Australian market is not good with the problems they're having over there with their dry spell. And there's a great opportunity for New Zealand to increase the sheep numbers and the profits of this company supplying Britain's demand. Are you looking towards that sort of market? Because Brexit will take place, and I'm sure that there's a great opportunity for New Zealand to capitalise on that.
So I think I can answer part of that question. I absolutely share your enthusiasm for New Zealand's opportunity under Brexit, and I know that enthusiasm is shared by the Minister of Trade and broad parts of the government. I can also say, as a country, we are in an advanced stage of trade negotiation of a free trade agreement with Britain coming out of Brexit. So the opportunity is absolutely not lost on policymakers. What it means for PGG Wrightson's and what it means for our livestock division is a different question, which probably, Stephen, would you like to take that?
Thank you, Roger. Thank you for the question. We are seeing two parts which I'll answer that question. Firstly, we're seeing the immediate demand in terms of prices. The prices are holding up very well through the sale yards and through the contracts from meat companies, and that's the immediate supply window, which is not your question, but it goes to the point that demand at the consumer level is very strong internationally. We're seeing the longer term question is if you look at the statistics, we've seen declines in the sheep numbers across the country. Very early days, but we are seeing, with the play and the lack of confidence in the dairy sector, we're seeing some properties move back into sheep and beef operations. So properties being purchased for deliberate intention around that. And we are seeing your demand for clients in terms of breeding stocks and those sorts of things. So, and we have a genetics team that works in the space, it's an area of demand from our client base. But that's a story that's still a couple of years out before it plays out. But we have a team on the ground. We have a specialist genetics team, and we are seeing demand and interest through our real estate teams and properties that can go back into those sorts of productions cycles. So my view is that in a couple of years' time, we'll see the numbers change. But can I tell you what that growth will be, what that change will be today? I would say we've only really just started to see that turn in the last few months. It's not a trend that's been there for the last, say, 12 months. So it's a bit early to predict where it will land.
Thank you, Michael Gould, shareholder. I find as a shareholder I'm no better off with you selling your seed and business, and with the capital dividend we were paid, and the dividend has been reduced, and I'm disappointed that you've sold, it was a very good business, and as a shareholder I don't feel I'm any better off for that.
Well, the first thing is for us to prove that you are better off, and we will. As you know, I wasn't on the board, nor was I chairman during the whole negotiation of the sale of that seed and grain division. However, I can tell you that back in 2011 to 13, I was the chair of the seed and grain division board working committee. And I went to see all these facilities. I went to these big warehouses in Melbourne, stacked to the rafters with seeds, with inventory. I went to the farmers and out into the regions in the Riverina and Murray Bridge, West Country of Victoria. You know, this is an enormous business that absolutely was starting to dwarf PG Wrightson's true historical activity, required substantial capital, and was not a consistent deliverer of EBITDA as the way our other businesses, which we are talking about today, are. It was volatile earnings, and when they were good, they were very good, and when they were bad, they were very bad. The second bit of the answer I give is the price we got. The price we got, I hope there's no DLF people in the room, was exceptional. It was exceptional on EBITDA multiple, on any metric you want to think of. It was an exceptional business. And if you dig deep, deep, deep into Peter Scott's accounts, you'll see what the actual operating performance was of that seed and grain business for the 10 months we had it. Wasn't too flash. Exceptional price. And the third and final point I make is New Zealanders and shareholders should, of course, be concerned about this unique proprietary seed science that was possessed within that business. But here's the beautiful thing. That was almost all in joint venture with our own Crown Research Institutes. So actually, that technology, that IP has not left New Zealand. I really want to emphasize that point. And then finally, I had a commentator, and not you, sir, but another commentator say to me, gosh, you've sold the crown jewels. We are still selling the crown jewels. We have a magnificent transition agreement. We have a magnificent sales agreement with DLF. And through our stores, every day, and particularly in the spring, we are selling that seed in the way we always did. So our product, our customers have not been affected. The products are still going through our stores. We're selling our crown jewels, not having sold them. And when we get onto the subject of crown jewels, that's why I've asked our team to be talking about some of these other things like Fruit Fed. In my humble opinion, Fruit Fed is the true, consistent crown jewel of PGG Wrightson's at the moment. Do you want to add anything, Steve?
I look forward to seeing the fruit in the future.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you've given us some guidance in relation to operating EBITDA for 2020. Can you tell us how that will translate into net profit after tax, please?
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. Obviously, last year, 2019, it was $131.8 million net profit after tax. Of that, $134 million was related to the sale of seed and grain. I'd expect us to go back to a more normalised earnings outlook. And so if you think about EBITDA being $30 million, more than 30, in excess of $30 million, then interest, obviously, below that, depreciation, then you're getting to sort of, you know, perhaps in the range of, to a more normalised one, between sort of $15 to $20 million, that sort of range. A normalised impact for PGW.
Just reiterating, though, that's not guidance.
that's just going back to a more normal operating EBITDA and you know, the normal sort of trading that we would have.
Does anyone miss South America? I should have added that to my list. We don't have to worry about South America anymore. If there are no more questions, okay. Thank you. We enjoy questions, and we welcome and open to questions as the year, not just at the AGM. As the year progresses, the executive team is delighted to engage with shareholders. Um, So finishing, and I have mentioned it a bit before, but before moving to the remaining agenda items, I do want to keep mentioning the opportunity on behalf of the board to thank the PGW staff for their passion and commitment, and along with our customers for the continued support. We have unbelievable market shares in the industries we're in, and we owe a lot of thanks to our staff who stay so close to those customers. So the formal business of the meeting, being ordinary resolutions in relation to the election of directors and authorising the board to fix the remuneration of our auditors. The four resolutions are outlined in your notice of meeting, and we've again offered shareholders the option to cast their votes on meeting business by post or online or in person. This option provides shareholders with more flexibility and convenience where they cannot attend in person or by proxy, but nevertheless wish to cast their votes on the meeting's important business. Given that votes can be cast by shareholders not attending, it makes sense that all resolutions today will be determined by way of a poll. After the business of the meeting is concluded, those in attendance who have not yet cast their votes prior to the meeting will have the opportunity to do so. The proposed resolutions will now be considered by the meeting, with all four resolutions to be determined by a poll that will be undertaken by our share registrar at the back, Computershare. Our auditors, KPMG, Peter, are here to act as scrutineers if required, and the resolutions and the accompanying explanatory notes are set out in the notice of meeting. The first three resolutions relate to the election, not re-election, to the election of directors David Cushing, Sarah Brown, and myself. Our respective biographical notes are set out in the notice of meeting. So I think we will go straight to, why do we have to start with me? Anyway, I introduced myself earlier. I'm the chairman of PGG Wrightsons, and I joined the PGG Wrightsons board on the 30th of April 2019. I am an independent director, and that is accredited under the NZX program. Being eligible, I am absolutely honoured to offer myself for election, and you can review my biography in the notice of meeting. The company's directors, my colleagues, have kindly recommended that shareholders vote in favour of my election, and I am prepared to take any questions now from the floor, if there are any, about my own candidacy. There's one.
Not a question, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Max. Thank you very much. So, the next director, David Cushing, is a director of PGG Wrightsons Limited. His family has been associated with this company for a very long time, and he joined the Wrightsons board on the day I did, on the 30th of April 2019. David, being eligible, offers himself for election. You can review David's biography in the notice of meeting. And once again, the company's directors unanimously recommend shareholders vote in favour of David Cushing's election. He would love questions. Max. Thank you. Any other questions? No. Okay. Sarah Brown is a director of PGG Wrightson, and she joined the board on the 30th of April 2019. Sarah is eligible and offers herself for election. You can review Sarah's biography in the notice of meeting, and the company's directors recommend shareholders vote in favour of Sarah Brown's election. Do we have any questions for the first female director in 160 years on this board?
Again, Mr. Chairman, we would like to make it public in this forum and welcome Sarah
Thank you. Okay. The proposed, moving down to the auditors, the proposed ordinary resolution is to authorise the Board of Directors to fix the auditor's remuneration for the following year for the purposes of Section 207S of the Companies Act 1993. As is usual with audit fees, it is impractical to set the remuneration at the beginning of the year. Accordingly, the Board of Directors are seeking authority from the shareholders of the company to set the audit fees at the appropriate time. So, thank you, everyone. I will now move resolutions 1, 2, 3, and 4 as set out in the notice of meeting by way of 4 separate motions and as ordinary resolutions. Do we need a seconder, Julian?
No, that's fine.
No? Okay. A poll will be conducted of all 4 resolutions, and at the conclusion of our general business, for those who have not cast postal votes already, please complete your ballot paper and hand this into the Computershare desk at the back of the room. Time will be allowed for this process. The results of the poll will be displayed on the projector screen following the conclusion of the meeting and will be announced on our NZX page as soon as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, the meeting is now open for general business. Are there any further matters for discussion or any other questions, opinions, or commentary? Excellent. So, in closing, that completes the business of the meeting. My first AGM for this company. Thank you for your welcome and thank you for your support as shareholders. The documents from today's presentation are on the PGG Wrightson's website, and we will post the audio recording, as I mentioned, later there today. So thank you, and I'd like to close this meeting. Thank you very much.